Hey there. Hi. Welcome back. This episode got started off by Mr. A, who asked me a simple question.
Want to talk about global warming?
Now, of course, I want to talk about global warming. It's one of the things that I've been freaking out about since I was a kid. But do I want to talk about global warming with Mr. Anonymous? Sort of.
I'm going to talk about a place that's got a hold on me.
Mill Valley.
A little place where life feels very fine and free.
Mill Valley.
You see, Mr. Anonymous disagrees with me on global warming. How can you disagree with me on global warming? I guess, oh God, it just kills me. So I start talking, and he starts listening, and here's what I say.
Talk about Mill Valley, that's my home. It looks as pretty in the rain.
Let me just say this about global warming.
Okay, all right.
You know, every day I'm driving in my car, and every day I step on the accelerator and I think I'm killing the planet. And, you know, I think it's true. I know that that anxiety is somehow important to me. I always need something to focus on. When I was a kid, it was nukes and burglars. Those are two things that I was terrified of as a child. Nukes and burglars. Always afraid that we were going to melt in a radioactive explosion or someone was going to break into the house. And I'm still afraid of burglars, still afraid of nukes, and now there's this sort of fear of the apocalypse, which has taken the form of my fear of global warming. I always need something to be worried about, and that's it. And I'm honestly really worried about it. Now, I wish that I could just hear someone say global warming is a hoax. Global warming is, essentially a marketing tool. I wish I could hear that and think, oh, thank God. But I don't. I hear that, and I think, oh, that person is making it worse. Yeah, I think that person is a turd. Right. Okay, a little backstory on the turd comment. Earlier in the week, Mr. Anonymous calls me up and tells me to look on Drudge, which I hate doing, but I do it. And there's this interview with Václav Klaus, who is the president of the Czech Republic, who was asked by a reporter about global warming, and Klaus says it's a huge hoax and he doesn't think we should bother with it. So I call Mr. A back and I'm very incensed and I say that Václav Klaus is a turd. Now here's Mr. A's description of the Václav Klaus interview.
This reporter was interviewing him, but they were quite breathless and they had the assumption that it was real.
And the global warming was real.
They are the victims of the oligarchy through one of the oligarchy's indoctrination centers, which I call the Narrowversity. And when they had the university many years ago, they would have not two points of view, they'd have 27 points of view. And you can't have liberalism without the university. And we don't have the university anymore, so we're going into an age of no liberalism.
Well, this is okay for people who don't know you. I have to say this is a theme that you go back to again and again and again, which is the death of the university, which happened in the 60s, you think?
No, it took a very long time. Our citizens believe in conspiracy. They don't believe in stupidity. That's how we lost the red cars in Los Angeles, conspiracy and stupidity. Yes, there was a conspiracy, but it wouldn't have worked had there not been a long basis of stupidity, which is, oh, I want to get rid of the cars. I want to get rid of the red cars. They don't pollute, and they're very cheap, and we paid for them anyway. And we want to replace them with these smoke-belching, poison-belching automobiles because they're the latest thing. Now, if you live long enough, everything turns around. That's why, if you wear a tie, never throw away your ties because the new ties are getting narrower or wider because they'll come back because there's only narrow and wide.
My wife had me throw away some jeans from the 90s. I had these Levi's 501s. And soon after we got married, she was like, those jeans look ridiculous. And I was like, I've been, you know, my argument was I've been wearing them for 15 years. And she's like, That's okay. My point exactly.
First of all, this is what you're going to get. This is a trade-off because you married a 20-year-old girl. All right. Now, the same thing happened to a very wealthy and influential guy. Not that smart, but, you know, not that good-looking, but very well. His name is Charlie. And he married this 20-year-old girl. And, you know, it almost destroyed his whole family. You know? It's true. It's a sad story. It happened in England. Her name was Diana, the goddess of the hunt. And it's all about a 40-year-old man marrying a 20-year-old girl.
Quick clarification. My wife is 28, not 20. But this is both the best part about talking to Mr. A and the worst part. See, he teases me with a juicy global warming discussion, and somehow we wind up talking about Princess Di. And by the way, Mr. Anonymous has the most insanely interesting things to say about the royal family. But I can't let the discussion go there. Not today. We were supposed to talk about global warming. So I say, let's get back on track. Let's not go into another digression. And this is how he responds to me insisting that we get back on track.
Since they're listening to us on the internet, I just want to tell them what the internet is.
What?
The internet is Jeffersonian free speech. We don't have free speech because we gave the public airwaves away to the highest bidder, and they never gave them back. Funny thing. And so now, instead of having reporters, we have Katie Couric.
I've lost my taste for my dancings. They're not for me.
Now, I have nothing against Katie Couric. She gets $85,000 a day, and I have never earned $85,000 a year. So she's way ahead of me. But the internet is real Jeffersonian free speech. In other words, the citizens are about as right as the journalist, you know, half the time. But the citizens know they're wrong half the time, and the journalists, who also know they're wrong 80% of the time, can't say so because they're working for these giant corporations. But when Dan Rather brought forward the forged papers, that they had to know was forged because they're not stupid. Now, apparently, as in the White House, there is no institutional memory at CBS. There are no adults. But this happens.
And by I've read the blow-by-blow account. Have right. you read that, how then they met him in a motel and
right.
the interview, there's a breakdown and Rather was very embarrassed and...
There's just one thing they left out.
What? Okay, I cut out the part where Mr. A actually says what the one thing is that they left out. Why? Because I can't prove it, and neither can Mr. A. We don't know. Does that mean that everything we do include in the program is absolutely verifiably correct? No way. But, you know, gotta draw the line somewhere. So we keep talking about Dan Rather and CBS, and then Mr. A launches into a long complaint about 60 Minutes, specifically a recent piece by Andy Rooney.
The other night, he questioned whether Americans should have the vote. He questioned universal suffrage. Nothing wrong with that, if you're a fascist. If you're a liberal, there's something really, really wrong.
Did he
wrong.
Do it in a humorous way?
No.
Like, let me question why.
He did it in a sly, snarky, smarmy 60 Minutes way. He introduced it as if it were a poll.
All right, you heard that, the way that he said poll, a poll.
He introduced it as if it were a poll.
For longtime Mr. A watchers like myself, this is an immediate tip-off that he's talking about not just the misleading nature of polls, but he's referencing his own history in professional politics, where his job, at times, so he claims, was to produce polls that gave favorable results to his candidates. Mr. A claims that polls can be rigged to give you pretty much any result that you want. And the example that he always gives is this. Let's say you're doing a poll, and the poll is about the race of a prospective candidate. So question number one might be, are you a racist? And most people would say no. Then question number two is, would you ever vote for a black candidate? More respondents are going to say yes to question number two. They would vote for a black candidate because they were primed by the answer they had to give to question number one, that they aren't a racist. So in that way, you have rigged your poll to say that more respondents would vote for a black candidate than perhaps is actually true. I guess the point of this argument, if I'm retelling it right, is that without the first question, a higher number of people might simply just say, no, I wouldn't vote for a black candidate. So what's the point of all this? What was Andy Rooney's poll? Here's Mr. A describing the offensive part of it.
He asked the question, should people who have IQs under 80 be permitted to vote? Now, this would be fine, absolutely fine, if we were living in Nazi Germany.
But again, and because I didn't see the piece, was right. It his Andy Rooney sort of, he was presenting the side that he disagrees with in a snarky way to show
that's
that...
That's right.
Okay, but
that's
he, right. So he doesn't really, he wasn't really putting forth the idea.
He was. Because you don't say to people outside of Nazi Germany that we're not going to allow universal suffrage anymore. That works in Nazi Germany. That's a perfectly legitimate Nazi Germany idea. It's just not an American liberal idea.
All right, that is four references to Nazi Germany. Four Nazi references means I'm going to go online and find the Andy Rooney piece, which I did. And tell you the truth, listening to it, I get it. I get the idea that Mr. Anonymous is saying that putting the idea out there is putting the idea out there. And having heard the piece myself, I honestly can't tell what Andy Rooney thinks. So I'm going to play it for you, and I'm going to play the whole thing, and then we're going to move on because I don't know.
We like to think we have a democracy in this country, and we do, but we don't vote on every issue. Our elected officials do that for us. We don't always agree with them, of course. For example, we didn't vote to go to war in Iraq. We elected our leader, George W. Bush, and he and his advisors decided that that was the right thing to do. If it had been put to a vote, we probably wouldn't be there now. It would be interesting if we all voted on the issues that come up before Congress. For example, how would you vote on these things if you had the chance? Iraq. Take all of our troops out of there immediately, yes or no? Where would you stand on this? Double the number of soldiers we have in Iraq so we can win the war in a hurry and get out. Yes or no? Next question. Of the 1,400,000 soldiers and sailors that we have in the U.S. Army and Navy, 325,000 are stationed outside the United States. Do you know what they're all doing out there? If we brought them all back home and then reduced our military by half, that would save us about $220 billion. That's about $700 for each of us. If you got the money in cash, would you vote for it? Yes or no? Immigration. Last year, about 700,000 legal immigrants were admitted to the United States. Legal, not illegal. We don't need more people, and we should stop all immigration now. Agree or disagree? Pennies. There are now 140 billion pennies in circulation, and you can't buy much of anything with one penny. Should we stop making pennies? Yes or no? IQs. Every American should have to take an IQ test. Anyone who scored under 80 would be considered too dumb to vote. Yes or no? I wish we could all vote on everything, but I know it's not practical. I don't think it's unreasonable, though, for us to expect both Congress and the President to find out what we do think and to pay attention to that. Maybe we don't vote often enough. We only vote for who will be president once every 4 years. It's a long time if we get a bad one. Agree or disagree?
Global warming.
Okay. I hope there are no children listening, okay? And if there are, turn the radio off.
Shining like the lights in a summer's day.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I love to spank girls.
I'm dreaming that you're gonna take me far away.
So I believe in global warming.
Right? Hold on, just so I understand, you're saying that if it's hotter, girls will be taking
Global warming, warming their globes. And there you see the source of global warming. The source is the palm of your hand. I never use a paddle, never. It's not like rape. It's not like, giving somebody knockout drugs. I am against the date rape drug, and I'm against the date rape drug for the same reason I'm against 60 Minutes. It's a way of narcissizing people so as you can get what you want. And the citizens have no defense against the date rape drug of the masked media.
What is it about spanking? Do you like to see that?
I'll tell you exactly what it is. The 6th and 7th posterior dermatomes are opposite the genitals. And when they're excited, a person has an orgasm. This is not like spanking a child, which I don't know if I'm for. I never had any children, so I never had to face the question. But really, the issue is global warming. And whenever I hear that, and wherever anyone hears it from now on, that will be something that they'll think of in the mix, along with the million other things. Now, you got it. The word is anxiety. And this is what the masked media has done to you and every other young person who's a victim of the post-60s university, or what I call the narrowversity. Anxiety is what they want to develop. Now, why? Because they wanted to make you anxious? No, because they wanted to market products. Products of the future. One of the problems was the cars, they were not wearing out fast enough. So they had to sell people on a new concept car. And the concept car was the precious car, the Save the Earth mobile. They're just trying to sell you some new shit.
All right. Let me tell you guys my perspective on this. I went to a post-60s university, and I'm telling you, that's not why I want to buy a hybrid car. Scientists publishing scientific results about the effects of greenhouse gases is what made me want to buy a hybrid car. I still want one. I can't afford any new car, but when I get one, I will buy a hybrid car. And I'm also going to say this. The media didn't make me want to buy a hybrid car. Major media outlets have been giving equal time to the global warming debunkers for years. Hell, I'm doing it here. In a time when no peer-reviewed journal would give any weight to the global warming counter-argument, major media outlets were still calling it a debate. So I have to say, Mr. Anonymous, I'm sorry, but I really disagree with you on this one. But now here's my crazy twist. I am, by virtue of publishing this podcast, I guess I'm part of the media. Well, in the interest of full disclosure, I gotta say, my father works in solar energy. So who stands to gain from the global warming hype? Among other people, my family, and me. Am I using the media to disseminate my global warming propaganda so that I can, in the words of Mr. A, sell you some new shit? You know, I have to say that in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that I am. I think the world's heating up and that it's our fault. But that's my anxiety. That's what I have chosen to hold on to. But lest you should think it's all doom and gloom here on The Cold Bath, we do, on occasion, talk about girls, which is what we did on this particular day. So I leave you, not with a tease, but with Mr. A's final thoughts that day, and this time, he really was thinking about warm globes.
the woman who I find the most attractive in Los Angeles, by far, I won't say her name, but she's a lesbian. And when a man tells you that he's gay, that tells you something very definite. I'm not interested in pussy. But when a woman tells you she's gay, she could be Anne Heche. It doesn't tell you anything definite whatsoever. So since this woman had had an affair with someone I vaguely know who was a man, I assume that she will switch back again. And when she's ready, I'm ready too.